Welcome to an episode of Wine and Wed, a podcast about all things weddings and more while enjoying a glass or two or a bottle of cheap wine. I am your host, Glennie, founder and owner of Calmarin Designs and Events. Each week you'll hear tips on planning a wedding, stories of personal experiences, fun interviews, answers to important questions from couples planning their big day, and just weird and random things. There aren't really any rules because we'll just blame it on the wine and make edits of the inappropriateness later, or not. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now pour yourself your first glass of wine and jump into your weekly dose of Wine and Wed. Today's episode, we talk about proposals. If you are listening to this episode because of its actual content, then you are probably at the point of your life right now with your significant other that you're thinking of popping the question. First of all, congratulations. And I'm sure you're in the mindset of when exactly is a good time to do that? What the hell do I do? Like, what's my first step? It's a very exciting moment for you. And I know that nerves might be kicking in, so no worries, because I will go over a few things about, things that you should think about before you make that next move. And once you make that next move, any ideas to get you started on how to propose. If you're just listening to this for shits and giggles, well, cheers to you, my friend. There is a child right outside my balcony right now, just screaming bloody murder. So if you hear that in the background, she's just not having a good time right now. Anyways, so back to proposals. There are a few things that you should ask yourself first before you commit to asking your significant other to marry you. You want to ask yourself, why do I really want to get engaged? Am I doing it for myself? And is this really what I want? Some people feel that there's a certain time limit to getting married, which adds on so much pressure to anybody. I remember when I was younger, I was told that the prime age to get married was 25. You go to school. Once you go to school, you find a significant other, you invest in that person, they want to marry you, then you have your kids, and then you have your family. That was how that timeline went. Thankfully, we are in the generation where that no longer is a factor. I know and have met many people in my life that chose to have a career first, chose to travel first, chose to put themselves first and figure out how to love themselves first before they settle down, which for me personally is, I feel, what several people should do. Figure out how to love yourself first and be happy with yourself first before you invest in somebody to settle down with. I think that if you can't love yourself or make yourself happy just being alone and just being on your own, then you'll have some issues along the way with your significant other. Your significant other shouldn't be the reason why you're happy or why you love yourself. You should be able to do that on your own. So if you are in that mind frame that you can do that for yourself without having a significant other, then amazing. And I think that's really the first step into life before you invest and settle down with somebody. A lot of the times I hear that family is a big pressure because certain traditions require the man to be at a certain age or certain time frame to settle down with a wife, and all that. So all I say is they're not living your life. You're having to live your life every single day. So you should not do it for the purpose of other people or your family or to make your family proud. I think that, you know, if it was about your family, then have them live your life, have them pay your bills, have them, you know, invest in this relationship, you know, but they're not. They're not there every single day. You're the one going through the relationship with this person. Therefore, it is solely and should only be you and only you, your decision to make. So that is my number one rule. Do it for the right reasons. And if you're having to make excuses on why you should be engaged, and if there's even a word saying for my family or because, you know, I feel like it's time to, due to some time limitations, like I'm old now, I should, like, no, take that out of your vocabulary. I think that you have to be at peace with yourself first before you take that next step with somebody. Number two, can I see myself spending my entire life with my partner? Does my partner bring out the best in me? I think that you definitely have to have some compatibility with the person that you're going to be spending the rest of your life with. You know, I wouldn't suggest like writing down pros and cons because those are just nitpicky things. So the number one thing I always feel that should bring you to your decision is if this person brings out the best in you. If you're decaying in your family life or your career life because this person has caused that issue in your life, or you know, you're not the best version of you when you're around this person, then that might not be the good choice for you. You always want to settle with somebody that will always drive you, will always keep you going, will be your support, your in life, someone that just keeps you motivated. And I think those are the key factors that makes couples compatible. And the only thing that you should be thinking about, you know, obviously everyone has flaws. Nobody's perfect, you know. And so you have to either compromise with those flaws with the person, find a middle ground, be able to live with it, because they're not going to change entirely for you. They will change little by little by spending, you know, a lot of time together. That's just natural. But if, you know, they're there and they're making you into a better person, and when you're around them, you're doing great things, you feel good about yourself, then I think that's really what matters with the partner that you have. Number three, have we come to an understanding and on the same page of heavy topics? Are we on the same page when it comes to kids? Do we share the same values? Do we have similar financial goals? Do we want the same things out of life? Do we respect our differences? And so the two topics that really is permanent in these kinds of decisions are usually kids and just family goals. So obviously, if you're in a relationship with somebody that wants to have children and you don't, that's going to be a very big issue, because that's not something that is easily compromisable. Just from, you know, experiences and just from hearing from other couples, it's a really rough thing to get over. So you either have to talk it out and figure out exactly how that's going to work with two very different goals when it comes to children. The number of children might be off if you do decide to have children, which is fine. You know, people change their mind throughout life. But if you got to figure out if this person wants kids and you want kids, then that's awesome. And if you want kids and they don't want kids, that's a deep, deep topic to get over it, and would suggest going through counsel to try to figure out if that issue is going to get in the way of the future. You know, as far as values, you know, obviously you will have different backgrounds, how you grew up, your religion, your politics, all that is always going to be different. Or, you know, for some couple, they're really the same. But you need to be able to figure out what are the top three things that are very, very important to you, and make sure you are able to talk it out with them. If there are differences in that, then figure out or talk it through on how you guys can compromise, or how are you able to move forward from your differences. I think arguments and disagreements are definitely needed in a relationship. You don't always want to have a yes ma'am or yes sir in your relationship. It gets really boring. You want someone to challenge you, someone to challenge your thoughts, someone to challenge and make you think. You know, you were born to think a certain way. You grew up thinking a certain way. Sometimes it's nice to open your mind to something that you're not, you know, used to seeing, or you haven't thought about, or haven't given the perspective of it. And, you know, if someone's able to do that for you, to broaden your, you know, mind a little bit, I think that's healthy, you know? And so those are, I believe, are the top three things you should consider and think about with the person. If some of these topics haven't been touched on yet with them, I, you know, suggest to have that conversation. You know, be able to sit down and talk to your partner is key. Being able to communicate, letting them know exactly your thoughts, who you are, where you know, your background is, where you come from, vice versa. I think that's really important to know from somebody first before you take that big step with them, you know. Anyways, at this point, you probably had a few conversations about marriage. So understanding where you both fall in line with that topic is obviously important. So if you are hearing from them how they don't want to get married, they don't, you know, they don't want that label, they would rather, you know, those key things you have to listen out for and then talk to that person about. Because if you are about marriage, if you want to go and settle down, then you need to voice that to them as soon as possible. And again, be able to compromise or find some middle ground if you really love this person and want to spend the rest of your life with them. I know a bunch of couples who aren't married but have been together for a long time. And, you know, they are happy like that, and they're together that way. So if that works how you want it to work and you're compatible doing it that way, make sure that it is talked about. You really don't want to be in a different page with somebody and you spent like 10 years with them, and then at the end, they're in a whole completely different chapter, book, your different bookshelf, like in a different room, in a different world. You know, that's never an easy way to get out of that, especially if you've already fallen deep into loving them and investing in them. It hurts. The longer that you wait on these conversations, you know, the deeper it of an issue, or I guess if you figure out where their actual mind is at and you're not happy with that, then it's going to hurt even more. So before you even get the engagement ring, sit down and really have a serious conversation with this person about your backgrounds and your values. Make sure that if you are planning to have a marriage, that it's something that both of you guys want for good reasons as well. So even though you've probably discussed about marriage to your significant other, the marriage proposal itself can and should be a surprise. One thing to think about that a lot of people don't write down as their to-do list is just practicing the actual phrase, "Will you marry me?" It can be a bit tongue-tied for some people, and I've seen where they completely forget what to say. So it might seem a little nuts for you to say those words aloud a few times. Make sure you write it down and memorize exactly how you're going to say it, to where it's going to sound a lot smoother and more confident the day of. But yeah, I would say practice on saying that. It's probably one of the most important words you're going to say. And another important thing is the engagement ring. It's probably one of the most expensive choices you'll make besides the wedding itself. But you also want to make sure you get it right or close to getting it right. You're probably going to want to pay attention to when you guys are shopping and you're passing by a ring shop, if she mentions anything, or if you guys bring it up in a conversation, you know, like if their friends are getting married and they, you know, they saw the ring that they were wearing, maybe ask like, oh, do you know, how do you feel about her ring? I don't know, something even much, much more smooth than that, asking it that way. Another thing is, you know, a lot, actually 62% of couples do end up going together to the ring shop to choose an engagement ring. But if you want to keep the element of surprise, you can ask the, you know, family members, close friends, if you've heard them talk about any ring preferences. You know, especially if you've already talked about marriage, most likely they're going to know that a proposal is coming. So they probably talk to somebody about that. So, you know, reaching out to family members or friends is your good resource. And, you know, one thing too is I've done it before, but if you look them up on Pinterest, there's probably a Pinterest board on there that is about weddings, and most likely you'll find ring preferences on there. Trust, I've done it before. And then make sure you get the ring size. Now, that's probably going to be very difficult to obtain, and they probably haven't dropped that information to anybody. So one of the things that I've suggested before is it's going to be a little bit snoopy, and depending on how much they trust you, is go through their jewelry and find a ring that you've seen them wear before. Take that ring to the shop with you so they can compare the sizes. That way you'll know that it's going to fit. It's not going to be too big or too loose or whatever it is. It's a very good preference to go off of. And next question, exactly how much should you invest on this engagement ring? Well, there's always that 3 month salary rule, right? But for me personally, I feel like you can find a gorgeous ring for $600 on the internet. I know it's a little bit sketchy at times, like purchasing a ring online, but I've seen the ones that do come from the internet. They're actually really pretty. They're gorgeous. And so I definitely won't exclude that as you know, your resource to getting your engagement ring. Just take a look into it. If you know, funds are a little bit limited when it comes to that, there are definitely other options, you know. And what kind of or what type of rings are couples purchasing nowadays? According to the Knot, 85% of couples purchase a new ring. So some may have an engagement ring from a grandmother or a mother you would like to use, which is, I think, super romantic. But make sure you do a cleaning on the ring before the actual proposal. Another thing, diamonds are still the number one choice. Couples are overwhelmingly still requesting diamonds, with 83% of ring shoppers requesting the gemstone as their center stone of choice, which is understandable because it is the most iconic in significance to an engagement. Second gemstone is, I'm going to say this wrong, moissanite. reason is it is a little bit more inexpensive than diamonds, and they look like diamonds. So that's you know, I would understand why that's a second choice. In total, about 50% of engagement rings are between 1 to 2 carats. And then 50% of all rings were round cut, while 1/4 featured a halo. 50% chose white gold, and rose gold came in second. So that's, you know, if you're thinking of what kind of ring should I get this person, there are a few ideas. Also, some brides or groom feel it is important to ask for a parent's blessing. So make sure you kind of listen in to when they talk about marriage and understand where exactly your significant other stands on that before proposing. Sometimes they're not close to their parents, so they don't want you to ask their parents for a blessing. They don't care about that, you know. Just make sure that if it is very important to them, to make sure you do that for them. They'll love it, and they'll feel like you've listened to them. And especially for the parents themselves, they really appreciate that when you loop them into your decisions, and going to them first for their blessing is just super, super romantic. And you know, there are a few options when you choose the where, when, how, what, with whom when you're proposing. Some think of a personal place, you know, maybe choose your favorite romantic places or somewhere meaningful. It can be simple as your home, or as elaborate as going out of the country. Be creative. Maybe you want to incorporate a hobby that both of you guys share, you know, something that screams your personality, that makes it unique and memorable. And then, you know, lastly, don't forget to drop on one knee. There's just something so romantic and charming about a person getting on one knee, asking the love of their life to marry them. Even if it's, you know, you're not traditional, it just puts a, you know, it just makes the proposal more touching. Okay, so since we got all those facts out of the way, this part of the episode is going to be a little bit touchy, touchy-feely. I've asked a few brides and grooms how their significant other proposed, and we had a few submissions, and I'm just gonna read some of them here to you. I'm just gonna put some light romantic music here in the background. So, our first submission. On our 3rd year anniversary together, we went on a paint night and dinner date, and then afterwards, he took me up on top of the water tower where his mom had her wedding, and we were just casually talking. Then he told me he wanted to spend the rest of his life with me and got down on one knee. So cute. All right, next one. On Christmas morning, December 25th, we opened all the gifts. Then he sat my 2 daughters down, gave them and me small boxes. He asked them to open theirs first. In each of their boxes, there was a chain with a gold charm of their individual favorite animal. He then started to cry as he took my box, got down on his knee, thanked my daughters for being the girls he never had, and turned to me and asked if I would marry him. 11 months later, we were married. Oh God, I'm like about to tear up reading this. Okay, next one. In Cambria, California, on the bluffs overlooking the ocean, we go here every year on our dateversary. And one weekend during the summer, after a stressful year, I suggested we do a weekend trip, which turned into a day trip because work got in the way. We spent all day wine tasting, eating, and walking on the beach. Just before dinner, we walked up to the bluffs, and there was an elaborate picnic set up with champagne and all. He proposed there, and my friends were hiding in the bushes, capturing the moment on their cameras. It was magical. My friends then left to let us enjoy the champagne and celebrate our engagement. Okay. 5 months ago, my fiance told me for our 4-year anniversary, he wanted to do a Valentine's Day photo shoot with me and a hired professional photographer. I thought it was a cute idea. The day of, he was calm and collected, or it seemed to me, and my mom kept telling me to hurry up and head to Rosarito already, therefore he couldn't be proposing to me because he was calm and my mom wouldn't be rushing me. He picked me up and we had brunch, then headed to Harveston Lake, where he originally asked me to be his girlfriend. The photographer would ask us questions about our relationship and ourselves to make us comfortable in order for the photo to be genuine. We stopped at a gazebo on the side of the lake and the photographer told us, "This is a perfect spot." He had me stand facing the lake with my hands on the rail. He told me to stare at the blue house and I did. The photographer then began to tell him how he wants him to pose. I heard him telling him where he wants him to stand and where his arm should go and his head tilted a certain way. "All right, nice. I got good ones here. May you turn around, please?" said the photographer. I turn around and see my boyfriend down on one knee with his warm, devoted eyes and a diamond ring and a box in both hands. My heart quickly pounded as I realized what was going on. He told me something short and sweet that made my throat heavy and happy sobs as tears formed and glided down my cheeks. And then he asked, "Will you marry me?" Millions of butterflies began to dance in my stomach as I couldn't believe it. I told my boyfriend yes, and I nodded in case my words couldn't escape. He got up to hold and kiss me, and the photographer clicked away as he captured our special and intimate moment. On Valentine's Day, I told my boyfriend, "My best friend, my love, yes," and I couldn't be happier. Aww. Memorial weekend in 2018, we went to Temecula. We went horseback riding in the morning and then we went to a private wine tour tasting at one of the wineries. We had it all set up where the person gave us the tour, brought a bottle of wine in a bag. I pulled out the bottle and the proposal was etched on it. I almost dropped it because of the shock. Then he got on one knee and pulled out the ring. We went to Vegas to celebrate my birthday and he surprised me with my dad being there from Maryland and all of our friends. Then we stopped to watch the water show and a street magician asked if he could do magic for us and he proposed with a card trick. Aww. Vegas is our favorite place and I'm obsessed with magic, so it was so well thought out and sweet. He took me to the inn of the 7th Ray, and right before we had our dinner, our girl came by with a guitar. He took the guitar from her and started to play Ed Sheeran's Perfect while she sang. At the end of the song, the waiter came by with a box, and that's when he asked me. It was so unexpected that I didn't even get my nails done or plan out an outfit. Be sure enough, his friend was there and recorded everything from behind the tree, so I looked like a mess, but couldn't have been any more perfect. Oh, goodness. Yeah, so try to remember to make sure, or at least mention they need to get their nails done, or get a little bit ready, especially if you're conducting like a photo op or taking videos. It's one of those moments that it's going to be shared with everybody, so you want to make sure at least they feel comfortable being proposed to. All right, next. At an escape room in front of all of our friends. The last piece of the puzzle before we escaped as a note in a glass case. Once open, I read the note, which was addressed to me. It ended up being a love letter from my fiance. When I finished reading and turned around to find him, he was on one knee with rose petals all around him and all my friends clapping and crying. It was so perfect because I had no idea. That's awesome. Every year on Christmas, my family plays this game we call the box game. A prize is wrapped in multiple boxes and you have to get to it wearing mittens, a beanie, slippers, and a scarf before your turn runs out. The timing for it is a little unpredictable and the game gets really intense. My whole family was in on the secret and they staged a game for me. When I got to the prize, it was a Pokeball. We both love Pokemon, with one ring in it, and he went on his knee with another ring. My engagement ring is a set of two. Cute. Okay, this one's the last one because I'm gonna start crying. So on my 45th birthday, my girlfriend and my son took me to the Seal Beach Pier for sandwiches on the beach, something we did a lot together in the summertime. Little did I know that one of my good friends, who is a wedding photographer, was laying on the beach incognito. While my son and girlfriend were throwing the frisbees around, it landed on a blanket with a bucket of champagne and two glasses. I thought it was for a couple that was sitting down the way. He was like, look, free drinks. And I said, stop it. And turned around to my girlfriend to say, are you going to stand there and let him mess with that? But when I did, she was underneath with a ring box. I don't think I've ever been so surprised. And my friend caught it all, especially my son's happy expression, which was priceless. Best birthday ever. And if all goes planned, we'll be wifeys soon. Oh. Woo! Okay, well, that was a little bit heartwarming there, but hopefully that gave you a few ideas on how you should propose and what you should do. Ultimately, that, you know, it should be very personal and you know, what you decide on, but there's just so many different ways and so many couples who've done it the way that is very intimate and very them, and even when things don't go the right way, when you're actually doing it, your fiance won't even care about that because they're getting proposed to. But yeah, that was it. I'm glad that we kind of did this episode because it really, really puts into perspective why you are getting married. You know, that very beginning feelings of wanting to marry somebody and having to think about spending the rest of your life with them is what it's all about. So don't forget those reasons while you're doing your wedding planning, because it can be a little bit stressful, but if you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, it shouldn't be. That is all that really matters at the end. But anyways, again, happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk soon. Bye. Hi. Love what you heard on this week's episode of Wine and Wed. Well, the fun doesn't have to stop here, you guys. Join us next week for more ramblings and drinking. It would mean the world to us if you could leave us a 5-star review. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. So bye for now, and thanks again for listening. Have a great week, everyone.